Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
The people want change. They want to chart a new course and look for responsible leaders who can move us forward. But looking to Albany and Andrew Cuomo, well, that's just not the answer.
Rick Lazio, now the designee of the Republican Party to run for governor of New York. But you think New York Democrats are in bad shape with their inability to come up with a budget while controlling Albany and single-party rule? You should see the Republicans. At their state convention yesterday, Republican delegates rejected the candidate for governor, favored by the state GOP chairman, and may have even succeeded in blocking Steve Levy from entering a primary. That's Suffolk County Executive Steve Levy, who switched from Democrat to Republican to run this race. The favored candidate, the one we just heard, former Long Island Congressman Rick Lazio. But the fractured GOP may find itself with one or even two conservative independent candidates on the ballot in November who could dilute Lazio's vote. Let's find out more from Fred Dicker, New York Post state editor, and WNYC's brand new political reporter, Ozzie Pabura, who some of you may have read over the last few years covering politics for the New York Observer. Ozzie, welcome to the team.
Thanks for having me.
Great to have you here. Hi, Fred.
Brian, great to be with you, and congratulations to Ozzie.
Thank you.
And Fred, the lead article in the Post about the convention today, I've been mentioning this headline a few times this morning, GOP lops off own head in Lazio nod. It's not quite headless body found in topless bar, but it's close. Do you agree with your headline writer?
Well, the point being that the Republican Party just had a devastatingly dysfunctional convention, and you have the party chairman telling the people of New York that the best possible candidate is somebody who's a Democrat that still turned Republican, and then he can't deliver on it. It was a bold gamble by Ed Cox to back Steve Levy. He failed in that effort. Rick Lazio's victory may turn out to be a Pyrrhic one, because most people I speak to, including many Republican leaders, say they don't think Lazio has a chance of winning.
Ozzie, why did it turn out this way at the Republican convention?
It's an interesting question. I had asked one of Steve Levy's supporters, John Faso, where did you guys go wrong? And he said openly that this was an intra-party fight, and the activists there really cared about when you joined the party and how long were you with the team. And with Steve Levy, he just simply came too late. And also, he has a record.
WNYC is a vital.
Excuse us for that, folks. Go ahead.
Sure. He had a record of being a Democrat. So when his opponent said, look, he supported Barack Obama on this issue, he was with Hillary Clinton on this issue, it really resonated with this small, hardcore activist group.
Fred, what are the rules here? Why can't Steve Levy and the two others who were vying for the nomination just run in a primary? Why does a convention have so much power to decide?
Well, under the state election laws, you first of all have to be a member of the party to petition your way onto a primary. That's something that Carl Palladino is going to try to do now, but Levy can't because he's still not legally a member of the party. And at the convention itself, Levy, as somebody who is not a member of the party, needed to get a 51% vote of the full convention in order to get a so-called Wilson Pakula, which is a reference to the names of lawmakers who had sponsored an original bill that allows someone who's not a member of a political party to run in that party's primary after getting the authorization of 51% of a convention vote. So he couldn't get that. That's why that second ballot was taken yesterday, and of course he lost it.
We know we're in the weeds of state politics when we're talking about a Wilson Pakula and using it as a noun. Ozzie, Levy is considering running on an independent line.
Right.
How will he decide whether to do that?
He told reporters the other day that he would do it if he thought the other candidates, Andrew Cuomo and Rick Lazio, weren't serious enough about cutting spending and cutting taxes. Now, Andrew Cuomo has said that he will seek to cap spending and keep it at the rate of inflation, which means it allows for growth, but a modest one. And Republicans, Rick Lazio and others, were saying, we're actually going to cut spending, not just reduce the rate by which it's growing, but reduce it, reduce the bottom line.
And so Levy will need to see that Lazio is serious enough about that, tough enough about that by his standards. But, Fred, I also would imagine that money is an issue here.
Well, I was going to say, you know, Levy says that, but I don't think anybody takes him seriously. Of course, money is an issue. He also would need a political base. He doesn't have a base out there. And if he did have a base, it's likely to be stolen by Carl Paladino, right, who's also saying he's going to create a new party, which he probably can do, a Tea Party-like New York party. And anybody can put a party on the ballot if you get enough signatures. And with Paladino, even if he's not the Republican candidate, if Paladino is heading up a Tea Party-like candidate in November running for governor, it's very possible that party could get 50,000 votes. And if it gets that, to talk about esoteric New York election law, if you get 50,000 votes or more running for governor, that party becomes a legally recognized party, much as Tom Golisano, some 16 years ago, created the Independence Party when he ran for governor in 1994.
And Paladino is notably more conservative than Steve Levy. So in terms of running to Rick Lazio's right, if that's what an independent conservative base in New York is looking for, they would certainly find it more in Paladino, I would imagine, than in Steve Levy. Fred, how would you handicap that at this point? If Paladino were to actually do that, set up a Tea Party line or something to that effect, with Lazio on the ballot as the Republican, Andrew Cuomo as the Democrat, how do you think Paladino will do?
I think he probably could get 150,000 votes.
Wow,
I think
that's
he would
a lot
cut
of votes
into the Republican base. I think he would just weaken Lazio's showing even further, and it would be something reminiscent maybe of the time in 1990 when Herb London ran as a Conservative Party candidate and almost beat the Republican candidate, Pierre Renfre, because the Republican candidate was so bad.
Ozzy, your take on that?
Yeah, it's hard to imagine that somebody who is considering voting for Andrew Cuomo hearing Carl Paladino and deciding to switch. So Carl Paladino is really seen as a spoiler for Rick Lazio's slim chances already.
Why would he want to do that? If he's really a conservative, right, and Carl Paladino is quite conservative both on fiscal and on social issues,
right,
and he doesn't want Andrew Cuomo to win, I assume he'll think Cuomo would be worse for New York than Lazio, but the only effect he could have is actually helping Cuomo to win, unless he really thinks he can beat the two of them, which I don't think so far anybody believes.
Right.
Why would
right.
he do it?
People like this are very driven by their ideology, and they have a long view of politics. And they figure, if I can't win this year, I'll lay the groundwork, maybe 4 years from now, maybe we'll start a revolution. So people that are so ideologically driven and that don't that don't just care about winning in the immediate future have this idea that they'll lay the groundwork, they'll put a party together, they're at the forefront of a movement, and they also feel like the parties that they were once in, the Republican Party in this case, are somehow leaving them, and they figure it's a new day.
Fred, same
and
question.
Ego involved. I was just going to mention personal ego. If you're heading up a party, if you're the top Tea Party person in New York, from Carl Baladino's perspective, it's quite an achievement. And Tom Golisano became something of a significant force in New York, creating his own party. And it may be Paladino thinks he could do the same.
In his speech yesterday at the convention, Rick Lazio said, and I don't have the exact quote in front of me, but something to the effect of, Cuomo can't run against
the
establishment in Albany. He is the establishment
right.
in Albany.
Mm-hmm.
Fred, how much do you think Cuomo has insulated himself from that attack by the way he's been running so far as a fiscal conservative?
Well, some people think I'm the establishment in Albany. I've been around here so long. But let me tell you, somebody has been
around
here,
Fred,
a long time.
You are.
Somebody who's been around here a very long time. I have to say, the idea that Andrew Cuomo is part of the establishment here is preposterous. I mean, he is feared by the establishment here. Was he and Elliot Spitzer close? Of course not. He was about to challenge David Patterson in a Democratic primary. He and Speaker Silver, they've had real strains. And we know Cuomo has taken on the teachers' union on charters, and the unions, municipal unions, the public employee unions, are very unhappy with his position on capping state spending. So I think it's an understandable attack by Lazio, but I don't think it's anything that Cuomo has to worry about, because he's not an insider. And he was away from here for more than a decade. When he left state government working for his father, the governor, about 1987, and didn't return to New York state politics really until his failed race for governor in 2002. Then he disappeared in the private sector again and then emerged in 2006. But he's not part of the establishment here.
Ozzy?
It's a record that he's going to have to defend, but Fred is right. I mean, if you're picking fights with labor unions, if you're sort of sending a warning shot to the legislature to get on board and sign a pledge about ethical reform, I mean, you're picking the right kind of fights if you want to cast yourself as someone who is outside the establishment. And at the Democratic convention, he notably announced his lieutenant governor candidate. in Manhattan while the party was up in Rybrook. When he took the stage, it was by himself. He wasn't surrounded by people. He's made a showing of distancing himself from the Democratic establishment, and everything he's saying is basically putting him in contrast with the party that he's leading.
We're talking about New York state politics with the Republican gubernatorial nominee now apparently decided, at least with the formal endorsement of the party's delegates to their convention yesterday, Rick Lazio, and the hurdles that anybody would have challenging him in a primary. And we're talking about it with Fred Dicker, New York Post state editor, and WNYC's brand new political reporter, Ozzy Pabura, who, if that name is familiar to you, some of you have been reading him in the New York Observer over recent years. Meanwhile, Fred, the state still has no budget. State employees are now being denied overtime. Mayor Bloomberg eliminated teacher raises in the city to avoid layoffs, somewhat contingent on the final Albany budget. Why can't they get a budget yet for the fiscal year that began April 1st?
Well, first of all, not having a budget in New York is not unusual. If you look over a period of the last 25 years, or I think something like 22 of those years, it was no on-time budget. But this year it is different. I mean, given what's gone on in the national economy, the worst recession in modern times for sure, and a projected $9 billion deficit. Bottom line, the reason we don't have a budget now is because Governor Patterson has been prudently pushing for dramatic cuts in state spending or reductions in projected growth. Lawmakers are terrified that the voters are angrier than they've ever been before in modern times, and being asked to make cuts in programs that are wildly popular with a great many of the special interests that keep the lawmakers in office is something they don't want to do. So we have this stalemate, although I would just note as a quick footnote, the governor's announcement yesterday that he's going to start trying to cut the budget with his weekly budget resolutions that have been being approved here may be a dramatic new development.
Ozzy?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what lawmakers do. I mean, they're either going to have to agree to cut spending, which they've been sort of reluctant to do, or be willing to shut down government by voting to not pass this extender. It's a situation that's going to leave a lot of people in a lot of trouble. There's people who are relying on state money to figure out what to do with their own budgets.
On the politics of this is an election year, Ozzy, for every right. member of the legislature. Are they betting that it's more popular to run to protect services in their district, even while all the media calls right. them a budget-busting embarrassment, than it is to enact a budget with deep cuts?
Right. It's a great question. Who is going to be angry and who's going to punish you more? People that find out that a local state office is shut down, and you know, or organized labor that said, we didn't want this cut to our spending, and we're going to remember this on Election Day. This is a very difficult decision. There were lawmakers who said, we are in a very difficult situation. We're going to pass this budget, but we're not happy about it, and we're going to yell and scream about it.
Fred, what do you think about the politics of that?
Well, I think Ozzy's right. The politicians, though, are confused. They don't know what to do, which is one of the reasons they haven't done anything. Whatever they do, they know they're going to be criticized, and they're looking at polls that show generic challengers to generic incumbents are winning something like 60 or 70% to 30 or 40%. That is to say, these legislators here see themselves as endangered species, and they don't like any other options, so they're paralyzed. Add to that the fact that the state Senate, as you know, is only controlled by the Democrats by a single vote, and that includes several senators, Democrats, who think they could be defeated in November, mm-hmm. and you have a prescription for the chaos and paralysis that we have here.
Right. But do you think I framed the question right, Fred? I mean, are the legislators asking themselves, which is worse for me, to look like we're too irresponsible to be passing a budget at all, or to vote yes on a budget that's going to wind up cutting services to my district? Is that the question they're grappling with?
Not yet. The question is even agreeing on how to proceed. You have to be here to fully appreciate how bad the situation is. They have leadership, especially in a Senate, that is unable to lead. And there are no clear packages in front of them of a mix, say, of spending cuts and maybe some tax increases, maybe some borrowing, that they can even weigh in on. Most individual legislators have no idea what's going on here, and the leadership really isn't much better.
Is it that there's a disagreement between the Senate and the Assembly, and they can't
enormous.
Reconcile because
yes,
the Senate, the Assembly wants to go with that part of the Ravage plan that would borrow several billion dollars to get through the next couple of years?
Yes, that's part of it. But the Senate Democrats have also been insisting on about $1 billion. It's odd since we don't have any money. $1 billion in ineffective school tax rebates, so-called STAR rebates, that the Assembly Democrats say, and I think with some merit, is ridiculous since we don't have any money. But they're insisting on that because the Senate Democrats here are terrified of the loss of their few suburban Democratic senators, and property taxes are a major issue in the suburban areas.
Ozzy, anything to add to that?
Michael Bloomberg has kind of weighed in on this, and he's spoken out and said the assembly budget is a little bit better for New York, and he's also criticized Albany for saying, how are you going to give away money when you have no plan on actually how to pay for it?
Does that mean that Bloomberg endorses some more short-term borrowing?
He's sort of thrown up his hands at points at trying to figure out Albany and how it works and how to get the best deal for New York City out of there. But he has said, you know, the assembly plan is better, and he's criticized people for trying to give away money that they have not exactly explained how they're going to pay for.
So, Ozzy, Fred, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say that this morning the governor was suggesting there might not be a budget. And Richard Ravitch, the lieutenant governor, had suggested that about 5 or 6 weeks ago. The governor was saying that maybe what will happen is that he'll just do these week-to-week submissions and there'll be sort of a drip, drip, drip of budget cuts because the legislators, the lawmakers, are going to be too afraid to pass an overall budget. So they'll just keep passing these extenders, which contain the reductions in spending that they don't want to pass en masse.
Well, that brings me back to my political question. Because if that really takes it into the fall election season, then will you have Andrew Cuomo and presumably Rick Lazio, too, running against the legislature for their irresponsibility at the same time
without
that legislators from their own party are running for re-election, both of their own parties?
Without a doubt.
Everybody's running against Albany these days.
So are Cuomo and Lazio, Ozzy, going to get drawn into debating the shape of this year's budget, even though I think they both hate that idea? They're not in office, at least not in this office, and they would rather not have to debate this year's budget, which is so contentious.
Yeah, it's very possible. I mean, Andrew Cuomo for the longest time has not commented on what's currently happening in Albany, saying he's not a candidate, it's time, you know, there'll be time for politics later. And when he finally announced his candidacy, you know, what we started hearing was, you know, there's one governor at a time, which is very understandable. But the longer this goes on, the more it gets put on the next governor's lap.
But they are and they aren't involved, Fred. Like, Cuomo did come out against the idea of borrowing to get through this year's budget. So is he going to get drawn in more and more?
I don't think so. He obviously has a vested interest in seeing as much painful decision-making go on now under Governor Patterson and not under, say, a Governor Cuomo, should he be successful in the November election. But that said, I think he can legitimately claim he's not part of the negotiations, and he's not, and that this terrible mess that we have here is nothing that he produced. This mess we have in Albany results directly from last year's budget that Governor Patterson negotiated in secret with the Democratic leadership of the legislature, increased spending by about $11 billion, raised taxes by $8 billion amidst a terrible recession, and he was warned at the time that just what we have today was going to happen. And that warning didn't just come from Republicans, it came from Tom DiNapoli, the Democratic state controller, amongst others. So I think Cuomo can legitimately say, look, I wasn't part of what built up or led up to this, and I shouldn't be expected to solve it now.
More fun from the state capital of New York. Fred Dicker, New York Post state editor, WNYC's brand new political reporter, Ozzy Paber. Thank you both very much.
Thanks.
Take care. Thank you.
Brian Lehrer and WNYC, still to come this hour, a Cousteau take on the Gulf oil blowout and legendary golfer Gary Player. Stay with us.